people know Jesus is the Savior of the world. And they don't even gravitate toward it. I am more and more convinced that people are not going to change anything. Even if they face certain hardships in their life, even if they face time in jail, even if somebody dies tragically, most folks will come out of that and still do the same stuff that messed them up in the first place until their heart changes.
Welcome to the Bible Way broadcast with Pastor Mitch Nichols. Here's Pastor Mitch.
I want to talk to you for just a few moments today. I won't be too long, but I will be long enough. I want to talk to you for a few moments today, and if maybe hit those lights there for me. And I want to talk to you for a little bit. Some of the scriptures will come up on the screen in just a few moments as I click to them. About some things that I listened to and I heard even yesterday with the Combs family. Let me read some of what I wrote. Most of us like the easy way in life. Some might call it the path of least resistance. As we shared in last week's message, everything costs you or somebody else something. There are no free rides today. Everything's going to cost somebody something. There are no freeloaders per se. Any way of saying this is, or another way of saying this is, there again are no free rides. If you have anything of real value, someone somewhere has paid a price for it. Look at somebody and say, even your salvation is not free. My niece Cynthia, who lives in Denver but is in Pittsburgh just for the weekend, she and her husband, recently took some of us in the family on a historic journey on how my wife's family, the Combs, came to be in Pennsylvania from pre-Civil War days, including the plantation. She masterly demonstrated the family links that became the Combs, the Manleys, the Davises, the Gilchrists, and so on, the Waters. And that journey that some of them took that will somehow connect to today's message. Now, I'm not going to preach Combs' message to you, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from and what I'm about to share. One of the intriguing stories that was talked about was how the Combs family traveled in post-Civil War era, around the turn into the 1900s, through KKK South to North routes. And for those of you who are not aware, as a few yesterday were not aware, KKK does not mean Ku Klux Klan. It means Ku Klux Klan. They traveled by foot as a mom and a dad and 10 children. There was no jitney. There was no Uber. There were no buses or trains for them. As they traveled from the state of Georgia through Tennessee, through Kentucky, into Ohio. Ultimately, they wound up in Pennsylvania. And I want you to think historically what that might have looked like. It's enough for us to get ourselves to a particular location. But then if you've got a spouse, everybody say, if you have a spouse, just say spouse.
Spouse.
Then you've got to take your spouse with you. Drag them, push them, shove them, threaten them, I'll leave you. Whatever the case may be. But imagine somewhere in the Combs family, as may be true for some of your families, you got 10 children that you are trying to walk from Georgia up through those states like Tennessee and Kentucky. Imagine the complaints from the kids. But I want you to keep in your mind again something I've already said, the Ku Klux Klan. Imagine telling your kids to shut up. Shh. Because there were times, if you understand that particular time in American history, you had to be quiet, and oftentimes you traveled at night through not only muddy but rugged ground, and you had to deal with snakes and everything else. And imagine getting a family of 12 from the South, avoiding the KKK, and traveling for days and weeks just to get to the North. What a travel. What a journey. There was no easy ride in the Combs family I have here, especially that of Schaefer Combs. Many people undoubtedly attempted the same journey and failed. You can think about life. Think about other situations. People that started out a particular way, you can think of some people who never made it to their destination. People had ideas, dreams, wishes, hopes, and they never accomplished them. Something happened along the way. They were derailed or destroyed along the way. So what makes believers think that our journey will be free of any cost? Look at somebody and say, it's going to cost you something to follow Jesus. Now, some of you didn't say it. Some of you didn't say it. Some of you did not say it. Look at somebody and say, even if it's not the person that you, look at somebody, point to them if you need to, say, it's going to cost somebody something to follow Jesus. And maybe that's part of the problem that some people have, that once you start making a decision for Christ, you somehow in your warped imagination think it's all going to be a bed of roses. The moment you decide to do right by the word of God, it seems like things become topsy-turvy. It looks like stuff just starts happening. People that spoke to you before don't speak to you anymore. Oh, who you think you are? Oh, you think you better? No, I just think now. There's an old song that a precious saint of God that a few of us knew called Mother Lillian Balknight. That one of the songs that God would give to her was, I thought on my way and I turned, why don't you? I thought on my way and I turned, why don't you? Turn unto Jesus with all of your heart. He will not ask you why. I thought on my way and I turned. Look at somebody and say, why don't you? Why don't you? As I began to prepare for today's message, my thought obviously again linked to what I heard in that family thing. And I don't have the whole thing. I wanted to be able to pull at least one of the slides where you could see Brother Rowe, our history expert. You could actually see the trail that they traveled through those states. What a remarkable thing. I'll share it with you probably once I get a copy of it. Life is not that simple. I look at people, if we could pull out for a moment the idea of marriage, and I'm not going to ask how many of you have passed or failed. But people oftentimes get married, and the ideas before you get married are one of sublime, one of bliss, and your imagination just runs wicked. I mean, wild.
Okay.
But in order for any level of success anywhere in your life, it's going to cost you something. If there's peace in your home, there's a price that somebody pays for the peace in the home. Even if it means in the middle of the night, you are seeking the face of God. Somebody, if the enemy is after your children and your children somehow are spared one situation, somebody is praying. The old song says, somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Oh, put your hands up in the air, say, I'm so glad they did. I'm from the generation of those who taught us that more things are wrought by prayer than this world ever dreamed. You and I are living in a day where we cannot control the circumstances that are thrust in our path. There are things that happen that are oftentimes unexplainable. Sometimes our regurgitation is, I didn't ask for this. But here it is. If there is any comfort at all to those of you who are following God with your whole heart, it is Romans 8:28 that says, for all things work together for the good to those who love God. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves, sometimes, do I really love him the way I should? But let me tell you what about our God, our agape love from God. He always loves you. Love from God is unconditional. Amen. I'm glad that he loves me. And I'm glad, as the song says, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Some of you who are listening to me may be struggling with the idea as to whether you are going to follow with the Lord. First, I would have you examine whether you are following him at all. I'm going somewhere in the scriptures because I'm very concerned about some people who think they're in Christ and they may not be. The Bible says your faith should follow. The Bible says that there are certain signs that should follow your life. The Bible suggests that if you belong to him and you're operating in the Spirit, that there's certain fruit that you ought to have.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
You're saying, Brother Pastor, are mean people saved? You can check him out from over there. I'm not going to be near him. Because mean people will hurt you. Angry people will hurt you. And the life that God has called you and me to live is a life where we are surrendered on a daily basis. Paul the Apostle left on record. He said, I die daily. I surrender whatever it is. I want you to understand this, beloved. Because I want you to see that wherever you are, and let me get some affirmations in there. How many of you are saved? If you are saved, say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Oh, wait. Some people didn't even budge. So could it be that you were saved last week? And maybe something happened this week that has you thinking that maybe... And see, here's what the devil does. He doesn't make you think that you're unsaved completely. He makes you think, I'm not as saved as I thought I was. The moment you can start thinking, I'm not as saved as I thought I was, you're on your way back.
All right.
And things are lined up for you, but you need to be declarative in your statement. I'm saved. I'm saved today. I'm going to be saved tomorrow.
Yes.
You need to serve notice on the devil. I'm saved today, and no matter what you try, I'm still going to be saved tomorrow.
Amen.
Glory.
I know some of y'all thinking, well, you know, you can't count tomorrow. I'm putting it out there today so that there's some accountability that I'm going to try to live and fight my way tomorrow. I know I got to complete today. If you are going to live for God, again, it's going to cost you something. And I want to unveil this just for a few moments, that some people who think that everybody's going to make it in, you have not read clearly the scriptures.
Amen.
Oh, I had a few people say amen. I said, for some of you who think that everybody is going to make it in, I personally haven't found scripture for that.
All right.
Amen.
My pastor used to say, if it's tight, it's right. That everybody that we think, just because they at least express that I'm a Christian, let me tell you what, this Christian life requires something of you. Just jot down in your notes something I don't and will not have on the screens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Many of you know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are. They become. May not be right now, but they become. They become. There is a transformation that should be taking place in your life. You may not be where you're going to be in God, but you should be en route.
Amen.
And some of us who are listening to this message need to realize that there are some destinations that God has foreordained for us, and we have not arrived at those places in terms of behavior.
Amen.
Anybody ever miss a bus? So our bus drivers say amen. People miss buses and they chase the buses down. Hey, Mr. Bus Driver, Miss Bus Driver. Y'all had that happen before. People bamming on your bus door and you pulling off. You know it's a risky thing in Pittsburgh and any other city to be fooling around with the bus because they will hit you and run you over. Now, I'm not saying that any of you bus drivers have done that. But you know some of your colleagues, if they killed some folks, they run them over because people weren't with it. Look at somebody and say, you know, you can get dead sooner, not being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Now, let me move on. If you've ever been left by a bus, or you've missed the timing of it, or you've missed the timing of a plane, told you years ago when I got my family, my kids were little, we were trying to catch a flight. I think that year we were going to Orlando and I messed up the time and I had when my wife could run. Well, she had the knee operation. She's not doing, you know, I guess if the right dog comes, she'll run. No, she said no, she'd be pleading the blood in the name of Jesus, dog. But it was my fault. And I had the time messed up. Then the doctor said, we better check. When we got to the gate, they had closed the door. Now you explain to two little kids why they ain't going to Disney. I bammed on that door. And fortunately, they opened the door. Well, let me tell some of you about this in a spiritual context. Heaven doesn't work that way.
All right.
When the door is closed, I don't care what bamming and screaming and yelling, you're going to do it. Look at somebody and say, it doesn't work that way. Let me proceed. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. And if you don't have a Bible, we have it right on the screen for you. King James Version. I believe it's King James. Matthew 7 verse 12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let me stop there just very quickly. And this is a very quick stop. It's about love. Sometimes we wait for somebody else to set the tone. But if you are a believer, God expects you to set the tone.
Amen.
And whether they respond appropriately or not, you do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, you do what's right.
Right.
Okay. Well, they didn't speak to me, so I'm not speaking to them. Oh, that's not biblical. Oh, they didn't treat me right, so I'm not treating them right. That's not biblical. You are the initiator. You're the one that's called to set the tone. You're the one who sets the bar. And hopefully the bar is set high.
Yes.
We can stop a lot of arguments in homes. I told you recently, if one of y'all would just stop talking.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Because I learned a long time ago, like they told some of us back in the day, it takes
two
to do what?
Tangle.
To tangle. Y'all young folks may not know anything about that. My great niece, smart as she can be. Some things you learn through experience. And some things you don't want firsthand experience at. You want to learn them vicariously through somebody else's experience.
Right.
Now, if you messed up your life, I don't want to have to go through Messed Up Life Boulevard to mess up my life to say, oh, you was right. I want to learn from, I look at you and say, they don't look happy. I wonder what happened to them.
They ain't got no job. Oh, that's why. That's part of the reason. They broke. Oh, how you get broke? Oh, they were mean folks. I'm tell you, stay away from mean people. Angry people. Our second time I've hit that today.
Yes.
I don't be hanging around mean and angry people. What if you live with them, you say? Find another room. Go in the bathroom and stay 20 hours. Put some music on in there. Ain't nobody coming up in there when they think. You set the tone. Verse 13. Matthew 7:13. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That means if most of the people are going down one track, that's a problem. So if most of the people saying they save, that's a concern. Because if you read your Bible carefully, it's not a whole lot of folks that's going to be really genuinely saved.
Yes, yes.
It's a few people. Now, what a few is, only God knows exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it's not going to be all the whole world's going to become Christians. I don't have any Bible for that. Contrary to that is the idea that he calls it straight. And the spelling is different than you and I are used to with the word straight. But straight means narrow. A lot of folks are not going to fit in certain paths. A lot of people, no matter what they say, if they don't line up to the specifications according to what the scripture is saying, they can talk all the talk they want. God is looking for some folks who straighten. Straight does not begin with just what you say. Straight is something that comes out of your behavior, out of your heart. Jesus is telling them, he said, there's one gate that's wide. Everybody can go through that gate. But there was another gate that leads to heaven. And there are few people who make it through that one.
All right.
Think about that for a moment. Verse 14 tells us, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth where? Unto life, and how many?
Few
there be that find it. So it has to be something, according to scripture, that you're looking for. It's like getting from Georgia through Tennessee, through Kentucky, into Ohio, and ultimately into Pennsylvania when the Ku Klux Klan is looking for you. It's like trying to bring all 10 of your children with you. And the only way you're going to escape certain things is you have to stay focused and on the right path and disciplined and sometimes sacrificial. Do you know there were no stop and goes along the way? There were no Safeways. There were no Giant Eagles. There were no AMPs. There were no Krogers. But somebody had to have wisdom as to what berries they could eat along the way and what leaves they could eat along the way and sometimes what water was safe that wasn't with dysentery.
Yes.
Living for Jesus is not the easiest life. But if you make up your mind, oh, I'm looking for somebody here today with a made up mind.
Yes.
He said, but if people would just treat me right, just jot this down. Don't, we're not going there, but just jot down Matthew chapter 5. I mean, it should be no surprise that people lie on you. People set you up. Now, if you're bright, you don't hang around with people who keep trying to set you up. Unless you're needy. Oh, I didn't mean to talk about that today. That you let people abuse you just so that you can be around people. Listen, I'm not slapping and cutting myself when I'm by myself. Why won't you slapping and cutting me? I'm no glutton
for punishment.
If you are serious about following the Lord, sometimes you have to walk by yourself.
That's right.
The journey's not that simple.
All right.
I want you to understand that, beloved. So Jesus says, listen, this one gate is wide and the other one is narrow. But then he says, which leadeth unto life. Ask yourself, what am I looking for? Ask yourself, is it life? Ask yourself. Because the word life in that passage is translated lifetime. Whatever God wants to do in your life, it's not just for that moment. God wants to do it for the lifetime. That's why we get so many people, they start out with Jesus and they don't continue with Jesus. They start out with the Lord, they don't continue with the Lord.
Yes.
I have a serious concern, a prayerful concern about inconsistency.
My Lord.
And I got that impression praying for the people that I'm responsible who are not consistent.
Amen.
You know, the enemy will deal with you a different way when he knows he can get you out of a rhythm.
Yeah.
What was it historically that made that legendary person, Harriet Tubman, as successful as what she was? It was consistency. Legend has it that she lost nobody during slavery. Now, there were some things that when I used to teach it at the college level, in a black history class, I put some stuff out there. Half my class was white. Think about that. Half the class was black and half the class was white. And they were gobbling up the information. I said, what Harriet would do to you is Harriet would threaten you before you left the plantation. She said, now listen, when we leave here, if you try to turn back, I will take care of you myself, which means I'll take you out. Now Jesus is not going to be that way towards you. Everybody should say, thank you, Lord. The Lord ain't going to keep you there yet. He let the enemy deal with you. And this is where some people don't get it. Either you are yielded to him or you yielded to something else. Either you're following the Lord. I had some guy was in and out of some discussions about some groups. The Elks name came up recently. The Masons name came up with and some other. Listen, I'm following the Lord. Okay? And he's real strict. I understand, Mom Combs. And I know you said your baby daughter in the face of your other two old daughters that are here. I mean, older daughters that are here. He really said, be careful. He said, Quandra was just, she just did what she was supposed to. But I remember Quandra telling a story one time about a cousin of hers who I won't name, who's still alive. And the cousin was complaining to Quandra that I wish my mama was like your mama. My mama, she said, lets me do anything I want. But your mother won't let you do just anything. Your mother is strict. She said, I wish I had a mother that was strict and that cared. The Lord loves us that much that he doesn't want us veering. I know some of y'all see the Lord so lenient that you do anything, say anything, go anywhere, and you don't think there are consequences. What we have to teach our children is that certain decisions have certain types of consequences.
Amen.
One young man who's going to eighth grade, I started talking to him. I texted him this morning, but it was late when I texted him, but I'll be following up on him before the sun goes down today. I'm in his life. And he just might as well love it. Unless he get his little cell phone number changed. Because, see, what we are missing so often is somebody giving us some structure.
Amen. The idea of the church is, yes, Jesus is the center of the church, but the church is to provide for the world a visible structure of God's expectations for everybody who will follow God. That means that we shouldn't be like everybody else. We shouldn't walk like everybody else. We shouldn't talk like everybody else. And we definitely shouldn't do everything. Oh, I wish I had some saved folks up in here saying amen. I get concerned that we are too loose sometimes as professing believers. And people can't tell who's saved and who's not saved. You need any other examples? A saved man who's married shouldn't be having somebody on the side. Just in case this message is heard by some preachers through the radio program, they need to have just one wife too.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Deacons in churches having girlfriends on the side. You really? What is the question, Brother Kevin? The question is whether we are going to subscribe to a holy God, what he requires us, and that's holy living.
Amen.
Not just what we call life, but it becomes a lifetime consistently. May I move on? Because I'm going to finish this in just a few moments. When we are not doing what God calls us to do, it causes certain problems. The latter part of what you see on the screen is this, that Jesus offers you a lifetime. Your life is not intended to be a bunch of patches. Thought about you, him, with that patchwork. But rather masterful patchwork that connects all the pieces. Boy, I love that. And your niece in Michigan got that. I'm putting out my hand. Some of you had grandmas and great-grandmas who made patchwork. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all have absolutely no clue. Patty looking at me like, huh? I'm sure them Italian folks or whatever had that. Well, patchwork, let me explain it to those you understand. That they got pieces of cloth that were from different things, and when they were done with it, they had stitched it together, and they made blankets and things out of it. And I'm telling you, those were the warmest.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
If I just had one.
Yes.
No, I want one with mine. You can put your requests out there. I like blue. You got to have a lot of blue in it. I told you all a few minutes ago, some people don't know what they want.
Amen.
In your notes, I want you to write down, God wants you to figure out what you really want. I don't have any problems with specificity. I'm very clear. Somebody offered me something, that ain't what I want. I know what I asked for. Those of you before you get married, one of the questions you need to ask the person, I want love, and this is what I mean by love. It's not that Eros stuff only. It's the kind of stuff that you won't hurt me intentionally. And if we disagree, we know how to make up. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? Because even marriage should become a covenant.
Amen. All right.
And the man's responsibility is to take care of his house.
Yes.
Take care of his children. Take care of his wife. Make sure she feels sufficient and safe.
Amen.
Let me finish this. I'm almost done. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Because again, the title of today's message is The Rest. All caps. The word rest is all caps. The rest is hidden. There's some things you don't get from God until you go all out, until you seek him fully. There's some things about God that are never revealed to you, unveiled to you, disclosed to you. There's some things about God that you never get to. It isn't that they don't exist, but you just never get there.
All right.
Because a lot of things get in the way.
Yes.
There are some things in God that are hidden. Even though you profess to be a believer. And one of those things is R-E-S-T. I'm not talking sleep here. I'm talking rest. Does anybody want me to take about 60 seconds to talk about that? I was taught as a young Christian, and it took a while for me to process that. I'm slow at some things. Probably because I got in the way of what I should have gotten a lot sooner. But you and I live in such a world that demands of us oftentimes what we're not even physically able to give back. There are people making demands in our houses, and the job is making all kinds of demands, and the pressures seem to somehow come up against us in such a place as if our house is going to collapse.
Yes.
Messes with our physique, our physical part of us. It messes with our emotional part of us. Messes with us mentally. And sometimes if we have not closed certain doors to certain things in life, it will mess with you spiritually. Can I go back for a moment then to consistency? Every one of you should have some consistent spiritual patterns in your daily walk.
All right.
You cannot move around without getting into the Word of God on a daily basis.
Amen.
It would be helpful for most people to have at least a brief conversation with somebody who is saved on a daily basis, which even lines us up with what the Old Testament says in the book of Malachi, that they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. You need somebody who's going to speak some peace into your life on a daily basis. You need somebody who's going to reassure you that God is going to come through for you on a daily basis. You need somebody who's going to tell you on a daily basis, just hold on.
Amen.
Like the old song says, change is on the way. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes you need a stern believer in your life that will tell you, you know you're going in the wrong direction. If the young prophet had had somebody like that in the book of Kings, when he encountered the older prophet, instead of the older prophet tripping him up, some of y'all, when you tripped up, somebody else that you thought had a word for you tripped you up. If they're not telling me, go along with what God says. And if it doesn't violate the Word of God, do it.
Amen.
Well, we don't do enough of trying to spend enough time individually in the presence of God so that we could ascertain the peace of God.
Yes.
One of the things that adds to your level of rest, even if you're not sleeping, is how to steel yourself in the presence of God.
Yes.
So I was taught. Took me a while to process it, I say. How to sometimes, even if I'm not sleeping, to steel myself.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet myself.
Yes.
David tried to tell us in the Old Testament, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sometimes you've got to speak to what's going on in your life and then quiet yourself so that you can hear whether the right things are coming back to you, so that you know when God is talking to you. Some of you got stuff going on in your life right now, and I don't mean it's all sin. I'm talking about stuff is happening. You need to be able to steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus, the old song says. You got to quiet yourself. Look at somebody and say, you better get quiet. Now, just because you're not moving your mouth don't mean you're quiet.
Amen.
Sometimes you need to, in your notes, say, ask the Lord, teach me how to quiet my own thoughts. Teach me, Lord, how to drown out through your presence the voices of people who don't have good intentions for me. Life is about shredding some things. Some things you get rid of mentally. Some things. So when you read about this in Matthew chapter 7, you read certain things. When you read down in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, at that time, Jesus
answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from who? The wise and the prudent. And hast revealed them unto who?
Babes.
Not babies. Babes. People who position themselves to become good listeners. People who position themselves to be dependent upon God and to realize that I'm not going anywhere unless God, you give it to me. We need to get to the place where we don't make certain decisions in life without having a sense of peace from God. God, if I don't hear from you, I'm just not doing certain things. I'm not buying certain things that could cause me to be in certain levels of debt that are going to be choking me. Okay? I'm not going certain places that I used to go that I know now I have no business going. Hello, somebody. Well, the Lord don't care where you go. Well, you don't know the same Lord that I do.
Amen.
The Lord don't care who you be hanging with. Yes, he does. There are some people, listen, you go to certain joints, you don't know what's going to happen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, you know, Pastor, no, they do things, they come in churches nowadays. That's why y'all should be praying. Somebody come up in here acting stupid, y'all slide out your phone very, very briefly, and because y'all be using it in church anyway, just go ahead and dial 911 and start praying. Did you all hear what I said?
Yes.
We live in a desperate society. A lot of disturbed people who have no peace and no rest.
Yes.
But the Bible says in verse 26, even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will do what? Reveal. So some stuff are hidden until you to reveal to you. Okay, it's amazing to me that you can read some scripture now, and you continue your journey with the Lord, and 3 weeks from now you read that same scripture and say, you know what? I didn't see that in your prequel. Because you needed to be at a certain place before you could see that. And if you think you're reading and you're seeing it all now, you are deceived. Certain things rely upon your open, your receptivity, your ability to listen intently, your willing to, for God that when he begins to share with you little things, you start embracing that and allowing that to somehow work in your life.
Right.
Saturate your being.
Yes, yes.
But notice this. Chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that do what?
Labor.
And are?
Labor.
Now, these are the people who are just not just loaded, but these are the people just loaded up. And some of you, you got so much stuff on your plate, you be asking yourself, I don't know how much more I can take of this.
Lord.
I don't know how much more of this I can put up with. I don't know how much more this can handle. This is about enough. And if you're not careful, you start blowing up at other people.
Thanks.
Hello, somebody. Do y'all know what I'm talking about so that I can go on? But the problem sometimes is where people have nobody that they can blow up on in the workplace or in the house. So then they inwardly, blood pressure shoots up.
Yes.
Diabetes level shoots up. Your glucose level shoots up. You start eating a whole lot more than you know you should be eating, and it's nervous.
Yes.
Stuff that's going on in your life. Hello, somebody.
Come on. Amen.
You drink too many Coca-Colas.
Glory. Hallelujah.
That's just an example. Write down, I hear a word in my spirit that goes along with this. If you write it down, EXCESSIVE. That sometimes what happens to some people when they're labor and heavy laden, they become excessive. Excessive. Now, if you say you didn't get the right spelling of it, don't worry about it. Spell it the way, because if you spell it right and you didn't, they tell you how to spell it right, and you knew you how to spell it, your way to spell it, when you look at it right, you say, is this right? Spell it the best way you can. All right? But if you let me see it, I'm going to look at it and say, ain't the way I spell it. Okay. It was like a story I was told yesterday. that when my niece was looking at the family genealogy, the family history on the Combs side, and she happened to come against some conflicting information. She expressed this to us late last night when we were around the kitchen table. And she said when she was searching some of the family history, there was one family member whose name on the documents was Elijah. And then when she checked it out on another document, it was spelled, instead of E-L-I-J-A-H, on another document, it was spelled L-I-G-E. And it took her for a moment and said, well, wait, this particular document is saying that the person thing, but who's this, I don't know where this L-I-G-E in the family came from. And then it dawned on her, whoever recorded the second document was still talking about Elijah. If they asked the person, well, who's that family member? Somebody would have said Elijah, and you know, sometimes they just said Elijah. Yes. You know, it's like New Orleans and Nolans. Y'all don't get it. Verse 28 again tells us, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says what? Underscore that. Jesus says, I will do what for you? What does he mean by that? He says, I'm going to refresh you.
All right.
Let me help somebody understand that. In order to be refreshed by God, you need to come out of whatever it is that you're doing. You need to come aside. You need to get yourself temporarily, at least, out of that situation. You need to make sure you remove yourself from all of this stuff that's got you all messed up, at least temporarily, so that you can... so that you can get refreshed.
Yes.
So that you can take rest and in some cases be able to give rest. You can't give rest to somebody if you haven't taken rest for yourself.
Amen.
And somewhere Jesus was telling the disciples, listen, if you hang with me, I'm going to give you rest. Just take it. I'm going to give it to you. Just take it. Okay? Take ease. The next verse tells us, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and do what?
Learn.
You can forget verse 29. If you don't do verse 28, verse 29 is not going to work. Where are the people who have good math skills? I mean, anything better than my 2 plus 2. We're kind of decent in math. Where you are, don't be afraid. Okay. Some of you took calculus. There's several of you. You were a math minor in college. I know you were, because that's what you told me years ago. One of the things I learned about calculus years ago was, unless you got this step right, this next step not going to make sense. Is that basically? Or let me put it philosophically. When I was a philosophy professor, there were some students who came to me. I didn't teach logic. I usually did the intro class and religions class. But there were some people who took the logics professor. And they came to me and they said, we're having trouble in logic. Can you help us? I said, no. Go back and see the professor that's teaching you logic, because you need to know where in logic you got messed up. Some of us are trying to continue some things with God and we got kind of messed up somewhere else. I know it's hot outside and got barbecue out there. Or... if you're going to follow God, see, the word yoke means servitude. We never get to the place of really serving God so long as we're caught up in a lot of other stuff. I don't get it. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is what?
Easy.
I don't know, this saved thing is hard. Living for the Lord. No, what's hard is when you're caught up in all that other stuff. Police chasing you. You got substance in your house that you know don't belong there. You got movies that somebody else made that you know were not the... You know, the $5 ones. And, I mean, they used to be really be messed up years ago. Can we talk just for a moment? That when they used to make those movies years ago, and you get those movies and you get them home, you got people's heads in the movie from the. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Look at the criminals here. People's heads years ago, all in the movies. People talking. Whoa! Did you see that? That didn't come from the people on the screen. Now they've become sophisticated. Let me throw this at you. Sin and ungodly living has become sophisticated and complicated.
Yes.
Let me go back to my door. And you could be doing something. Somebody listening to me. There are things that you think you can get away with because it's behind your own personal doors in your home. But I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures and then I'm closing. There is no private place in your life where you can block out the need for God.
Amen. Wow.
Stuff that you watch on the internet, stuff that you watch on TV, men or women, people you hang with and you say, this is the last time I'm going to do this. All of that impairs your ability to have true rest. You want to be able to serve God, be eligible to serve God 24 hours a day.
Amen.
So when the devil comes a knocking, you can tell him, I have no time and will not let you in because I got who I want.
Amen.
Amen. Two scriptures that are not on our screen. Jot this down, please. You don't have to turn there. You can look at them later. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Let me say that again, because it's not. I don't have it on the screen. I added this later. Think about it. My soul finds rest, fill in the blank, in God. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. When we're resting in God, there is a level of confidence that almost sounds like you're arrogant or out of your mind to people who don't know any better. But when you are resting in God, your level of humility has increased to the point that regardless of what anybody says to you, you know every moment you need God.
Amen.
And everything about you is saying, I don't want to do anything that's going to mess with my ability to receive from Him. If this is you today, would you just raise your hands and say, I don't want to do anything that's going to disturb my ability to receive from Him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we try to rationalize, well, I'm going to get married to so-and-so eventually, so if I give him some now, you're deceived. Well, I'm going to play the lotto. I don't want any of you confessing what y'all play. Because what God wants you to do is trust Him.
Yes.
You're not going to hear this in a lot of places.
Glory.
Because a lot of us, pastors, generally speaking, they don't want people to come in and just live any kind of way you want to live. At the end of all of that, you'll say, well, why didn't somebody tell me I needed to make an off-ramp from sin?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't somebody tell me I needed to live something?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't somebody tell me that when I live totally committed to God, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord rises up as a standard against the enemy? That I become the enemy's boss.
Amen.
Last scripture I want to give you, just jot it down. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. Exodus 33, verse 14. The scripture says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence. What is it that makes this so important? It's not just all this flair that we put to talking about we Christians, we believers, who I'm a member of Bible Way. Everybody who's a member of Bible Way ain't going to heaven. That's the truth. Well, you know, my family member is the pastor. And? You better make this thing personal with God, brothers and sisters. You know, Pastor, my A's boom coon, that's what they say years ago. I don't know what they call them now, Jason. Yeah. Well, you know, somebody good type friend, dog, and what you're a different generation then. What they call them now?
Homie.
A homie? Oh, they still call them homie?
Yeah.
I have to be careful because you're much older than him. If you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to sometimes be looked at like you are really, really strange. Now, people who are in that particular realm of people looking at you really strange, you're not trying to look strange.
Well, ain't nobody like me in the house, so I'm just going to go ahead and sit and do what I want to do.
Are you serious? There is something about your human makeup that wants somebody to like you with your crazy self. Prophets are difficult people. God positions prophets in the Old Testament that most folks probably didn't like them, so that they would be true to only one, and that was him.
Amen.
Well, guess what? In the New Testament, he wants you to be such that whatever you do it because the word says. Last time I read that scripture, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." How do we get this hidden thing? We got to do whatever we're supposed to do to get the presence of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? If you love God, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Way broadcast with Pastor Mitch Nichols. We hope our ministry has blessed you. And if you would like to provide a donation or offering to the ministry, please make a check out to Bible Way Christian Fellowship Church and mail to P.O. Box 390, Trenum, PA 15084. You can also visit our website at www.BibleWayChristianFellowship.org. Again, we thank you for listening to the Bible Way broadcast. Have a blessed day in the Lord.